Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, presented by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, hosted by Dirk Gray. My NMLS number is 222-785 with New Mexico Reverse Mortgage. NMLS number is 1102-656. You may have noticed that the radio show name has changed from the Realty One Real Estate Hour to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, and I'd like to take a few minutes and talk about that transition. And first, I'd like to say I'm grateful for the time that I had with Realty One. Now, this will be a review for a few of you listening. This will be the third week that I'm talking a little bit about the transition, just so people that are joining us that haven't heard, I just want to make sure that they do. I'm one of the baby boomers. I'm 61 years old, and there are 78 million of us, and 10,000 to 11,000 turn 65 daily. And along with getting older and thinking about my ability to retire, I've also decided to serve the senior group and help them improve the quality of their lives through good planning. I have a designation called CMPS, which stands for Certified Mortgage Planning Specialist, which just means I look at the planning aspects of taking out a mortgage. Many of you have heard me say your home is likely your largest asset and your mortgage is likely your largest debt. And considering the short-term and the long-term impact of your mortgage is critical to your overall financial planning. By creating a debt strategy that helps in building long-term wealth for your family. As I began looking into the possibility of working with a reverse mortgage company, it became obvious that New Mexico Reverse Mortgage is truly the premier reverse mortgage company in New Mexico. And also, as I met Mace, our president, Gordon, Amanda, Kara, and Paul at New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, we all seem to resonate with that same attitude of wanting to educate and help people, taking more of a planning approach to their financial lives and the product we offer, which, of course, is reverse mortgages. So that's why it was important for me to embark on this new journey. My hope is you'll join me on Saturdays along with our guests as we explore all things senior. Okay, I'm joined in studio by my producer, Bob. Good afternoon, Bob.
Good afternoon.
Gray Matters is dedicated entirely to all things senior. Each week, I have guests in the studio talking about what they know best and answering your questions and concerns. It will all be related to our senior population. News, community, health, lifestyle, finance, real estate, events surrounding seniors, and more. On the April 22nd show, Ann Grohlman will be discussing Medicare. This show is brought to you by our sponsor, New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, helping you move forward in reverse. Our website is www.reversenm.com. And our phone number at the office is 505-897-4900. That's 897-4900. Or contact 770kkob.com and go to the Gray Matters program page. Today on the show, my guests are Amanda Snow, Reverse Mortgage Executive Assistant, and Guy Tan, an attorney with Buttiger & Associates. We're going to open up the phone lines, so please call if you'd like to ask me or Amanda or Guy a question. The phone number is 243-33. Welcome to the show, Amanda.
Hello.
It's great to have you.
Well, thank you, Dirk.
I've been looking forward to this since I met you, Amanda, because people just love you, and I know that you're going to have fun with this, and they're going to adore you. So, you know what? Tell our audience about yourself.
Well, my name is Amanda Snow. I have lived here in Albuquerque for the past 25 years. As you can probably hear, I am not originally from Albuquerque. I was born and raised in London, England. I moved to the U.S. in my early 20s. I lived first in Santa Barbara, then San Francisco, and I finally settled here in Albuquerque. I came to Albuquerque to attend the University of New Mexico, and I fell in love with the beautiful blue skies and the abundant sunshine. I met my husband at UNM. We have five children together and five grandchildren, And when I'm not at work, I like to take walks, read, but my real passion is gardening. I love gardening. And so you'll find me at home most weekends pottering around the garden, usually followed by a number of chickens and ducks.
Well, we've got a call to take from Heidi. Hi, Heidi. Welcome to the show. How may we help you? Hello, Heidi? Okay, I guess we lost Heidi. You know what? I've got a comment on what you said, Amanda, about the chickens and the ducks. My wife and I lived out in Estancia for the better part of 11 years, and we had a dog that was half wolf, and we had a number of ducks, and one of them was Waddles. And we caught our wolf, Norman, trying to bury Waddles alive. It was hilarious, but at the same time, it was really sad. But Waddles survived and was okay. So, okay, tell us about your career.
All right. Well, I started working as a loan officer many years ago in Santa Barbara. However, after I moved to Albuquerque, I wanted to spend time at home with my children while they were young. And during that period, I started with a friend. We started flipping houses for fun and a little extra income. We did this for a number of years, and because of this, I decided that it would be a good idea to get my real estate license. So after that, I worked part-time as a realtor for several years. And then about 12 years ago, I started my own realty company, Red Door Realty. So I have worked in the real estate industry in one capacity or another for many years. I really fell into the reverse mortgage business. I had a client who wanted to buy a house and had heard about reverse mortgages. We did lots of research, and we ended up finding her a house for twice the price she originally thought she could afford. I mean, she was thrilled. I was thrilled. It worked out wonderfully. However, I couldn't help wondering why more people were not doing this type of loan. The more I read about reverse mortgages, the more I thought that these were a great solution for our aging population, of which I'm one.
Okay, that brings up something that I want to ask you. There are a lot of misconceptions about reverse mortgages and myths. Can you talk about the myths, Amanda?
Sure. Well, Kirk, the largest myth out there is that the bank owns your home. This is not true. You still remain the owner of your home, and you can leave it to anyone you wish. And I think probably the second myth is that little old ladies are being foreclosed and turned out onto the street. Well, there are new regulations in place, and they offer more protection to seniors so that this doesn't happen. Let me explain a little. Previously, anyone over 62 with enough equity in their home could receive a reverse mortgage. Nobody was checking to see if they had enough income to live on and to pay their taxes and insurance. So what happened, let me give you an example. Mrs. Doe, aged 80, had a very limited income, and she couldn't pay her taxes for a few years. The tax man will eventually foreclose on the property to get their monies. Well, the reverse mortgage company hears that she's late on her taxes, and not wanting to be left high and dry, they foreclose first to make sure their loan is repaid. However, the public only hears that a little old lady lost her home due to a reverse mortgage company. Well, now we have better safeguards in place. The new financial assessment, which started a couple of years ago, is one of these. We check that borrowers have enough income to pay taxes, etc. And we also check that borrowers are not in the habit of paying their bills late. Thus, we are hopefully avoiding future foreclosures.
Okay. You know what? So I just want to be clear. So you're saying that if they don't pay their taxes and insurance, there could be a potential problem?
Yes. Everybody must maintain their taxes and their insurance.
Okay. That's a good time to take a break. Bob's telling me it's time for a break, and I've got to listen to Bob. You're listening to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, presented by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, here on 94.5 FM and AM 770 News Radio KKOB. I'll be right back. Welcome back to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, with your host, Dirk Gray. Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, is heard live weekly on Saturdays, beginning at 12 p.m. Mountain Time, and streams to a global audience on 770kkob.com. All right, I'm continuing my conversation with Amanda Snow. Amanda is a reverse mortgage executive assistant with our company. And Amanda, pick up, you were talking about your career and being with New Mexico Reverse Mortgage. So why don't you continue with that?
Okay, Derek. I was telling you how I fell into reverse mortgages. So to continue on, one day I was watching my daughter play volleyball, and I started chatting with another parent, as one does, and it turned out that she and her husband owned a reverse mortgage company. Aha. As I had mentioned earlier, I was already fascinated by this product. So I questioned the poor woman extensively. Finally, I think she was a bit tired of me, and she told me that I should chat to her husband and that he was considering expanding his business and there might be something that I would be interested in doing. So the rest, as they say, is history. I am now extremely proud to be part of the New Mexico Reverse Mortgage family. It is a wonderful group of people who genuinely care about our senior community.
So you were talking to Kara.
Yes, I was. Her daughter and mine play volleyball together.
Okay, gotcha. All right. Well, why would people consider getting a reverse mortgage?
Well, Dirk, that's a great question. Reverse mortgages attract a large variety of people from many walks of life for many, many different reasons. For example, they are highly beneficial for someone who owns property and still has a mortgage. With a reverse mortgage, we can pay off their first mortgage, and so they no longer have a monthly principal and interest payment, which of course gives them extra income in their pocket each month while they still get to live in the comfort of their own home. Someone else might like to use a reverse mortgage to convert some of the equity in their home into a line of credit. These lines of credit grow. In fact, they double in value approximately every 12 years. And the funds from the line of credit are available to the client at any time for any reason. Many like to have these nest eggs available for a rainy day, perhaps for renovating their home or unexpected medical expenses or something like that.
Amanda, let me jump in just for a second and let our listeners know that they can call in at 243-3333 and ask me or Amanda a question. Go ahead, Amanda.
Okay. So our lines of credit growing at approximately 5% right now, which is considerably better than you might get on savings in your bank. Our lines of credit are guaranteed, and rates are pretty low right now, but if our loan rates do go up, then the growth on our line of credit will also increase. So lots of people like to choose to do lines of credit with a reverse mortgage. Another person might be on fixed retirement income and struggling to make ends meet. They can take out a reverse mortgage and use the proceeds to receive monthly tax-free payments to help subsidize the income that they already get. This allows them to have a higher standard of living, which I think we can all agree is something we want to see for our parents or elderly relatives.
Well, you know what? I'll just talk from my personal perspective. My wife, Lois, her father took out a reverse mortgage a number of years ago. I don't know, probably 7 or 8 years ago. And that enabled him to do exactly what you're saying. I believe he had Social Security income, but the reverse mortgage gave him something that he could augment that Social Security income with and made it more comfortable for Carl to stay where he is have a little bit extra income.
Exactly. So another option or use of a reverse mortgage is that you can take out a lump sum of money. Many seniors access the equity in their home to achieve a goal or a dream they may have. You can get the proceeds in a lump sum to spend as you see fit. Perhaps take that dream vacation, buy a sports car, add a sunroom to your home. I mean, whatever you choose, the possibilities are endless.
Mm-hmm.
Reverse mortgages can also be used to avoid drawing on Social Security. People take out reverse mortgages at 62 so that they can use this income and wait until their Social Security benefits have reached their maximum amount. Others don't want to touch their IRAs or perhaps are waiting for their investments to rebound. They can use the proceeds from a reverse mortgage until they're ready to access their retirement funds.
Well, you know something, and we see financial planners and different financial service providers very interested in what you were just talking about, because when a portfolio is not performing quite up to where they'd like it to be performing, they can access the funds on the reverse mortgage and then move back into the portfolio when needed. It's a great strategy.
Yeah, it gives them more flexibility. Yes, mm-hmm. Definitely. And let's not forget that with a reverse mortgage, you get to liquidate the equity in your home so that you can use it now without having to sell your home and without having to make any monthly payments. I mean, this is a huge advantage to many seniors. These funds can be used in so many ways, and they are under no obligation to make a payment as long as they stay in their home and they pay their taxes and insurance.
Well, you know something? It almost sounds like it's too good to be true. But it's a product that, because of the misconceptions and the myths, it really is misunderstood. You know, Mace and I were at lunch yesterday and having a conversation with somebody, and she said that. She said, you know what, this product, she said, I like so many others, misunderstood what the product can really do and the benefits of the product. And now after Mace explained it, which he does so well, she was excited about the product. And so it's a wonderful product to take a look at.
It truly is. And I think many years ago it was different, but there are far better protections and safeguards in place for the seniors now. And it can be so advantageous to them. Mm-hmm. It's a great product. So the final purpose that I can think of is the purpose that first piqued my interest in reverse mortgages, was that seniors can use them to purchase a home. Many in their later years, they choose to downsize, they want to move nearer to their family or move into a more elderly-friendly home. When they sell their original home, they receive a certain amount of proceeds from the sale. And many think, well, this is it. I made X amount of dollars, and now I can afford to buy a home for the same X amount of dollars. Well, not true with a reverse mortgage. Essentially, I'm oversimplifying this a little bit, but a reverse mortgage will match the funds you already have and increase your purchasing power. Let me give you an example. If you receive $200,000 from the sale of your home, then you can now buy a home with a value of up to $400,000. Yeah, that gives you a lot more purchasing power and a lot more, many more homes to look at, many more options available. So there are other variations on this where you can put down a smaller percentage of your money and save more of the rest. But this is something that we can tailor to meet each individual's needs. And we need to chat to people to find out specifically what they want. Let me add once again that even with a reverse for purchase, there are still no monthly payments except for maintaining your taxes and insurance.
It's amazing.
Yeah, there are so many uses for reverse mortgages. They are used in many countries all over the world. They are definitely of great benefit because they allow seniors to tap into the equity in their home, which is usually their largest asset. And they don't have to sell in their home. They get to live in their home for the rest of their life. And as we all know, there's no place like home.
Well, and you know something, Amanda, there are so many people that don't have the wherewithal to call it quits or to retire in the manner that they'd like to. So accessing a reverse is a great idea. Okay, we've got a caller. Hang on. Hello, Bob. Welcome to the show. How may we help you?
Thank you. Well, I have a question. Let's say I have an appraisal on my house of $300,000.
Okay.
So, what kind of a loan, a reverse mortgage, would I get off from that?
Okay, Bob. Well, let me tell you that the way we do figure out how much we can lend you is determined by your age and the value of the property. So, not meaning to be rude, but what is your approximate age?
75.
Okay. Yep. Well, it varies. It ranges from 52% for someone at about 62 years, and it goes up to about 75% for someone who's about 90 years old. You're sort of in the middle. I don't know the figures off by heart, but I would say that we'd probably lend you about 60%. And so, you know, we're looking at lending you $180,000, $200,000 maybe that we can do.
Okay. So it's based on age, huh?
Yeah, and in fact, it is a one time when being older is to your advantage, because the older you are, the more we lend.
What about if you're free and clear?
That is lovely. That we can. It means there's more equity for you to tap into. If you had a mortgage, we would have to pay that off first. But if you own it free and clear, then all the monies can go to you.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for calling, Bob.
You bet. Bye.
Okay, Bob is telling me it's time to take a break. You're listening to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior with your host, Dirk Gray. Amanda and I'll be right back. Welcome back to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior with your host, Dirk Gray. Gray Matters is heard weekly on Saturdays beginning at 12 p.m. Mountain Time and streams to a global audience on 94.5 FM and AM 770 News Radio KKOB. I wanted to say, if you'd like to get in touch with Amanda or have another question for her, please call the New Mexico Reverse Mortgage Office at 897-4900, and she'll be happy to take your call, as would any of us. All right, my next guest is Guy Tan. Guy is an attorney with Buttiger & Associates, and welcome to the show, Guy.
Thank you, Dirk.
I'm pleased that you're here, and I've been looking forward to this conversation.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate being invited.
Okay. Tell us what estate planning is. Talk about that, Guy.
All right. Well, estate planning, I mean, the simple answer is organizing your estate, putting your wishes in place for, what you would like to have at end of life mostly. But estate planning also involves a little bit of planning for during your lifetime, particularly for, potential future incapacity or something like that. But, who's going to get your stuff when you die? It's an easy way to say it.
Okay, so talk about if I'm sitting down with you the first time.
Okay.
Walk me through that conversation, Guy, and assuming I know very little about it.
Sure. Well, when I get a client in the office, we set appointments and have clients come in, we like to educate people. So, and I think most estate planners in Albuquerque operate this way, and that would be, this first meeting is just to get to know the client, who they are, their family, their what their estate is, assets, debts, that sort of information. There's usually no charge from an estate planner for that. We want to educate the public on what estate planning is and why we think it's so important. So once I get a conversation going with a client, I get that information, then I try to find out what they know about estate planning. Some people have been through the process, or they have had family or friends, parents, and they've had to deal with estates. So, the level of knowledge of clients varies greatly when they come in. But we want to educate them on what is a will, what is a trust, what is probate, and those sort of things.
Mm-hmm. You know what's interesting about that whole thing you just framed up? Mace, the president of our company, Mace, the way he refers to it is he wears two hats. One is an education hat, and the other is the loan officer hat. And that initial conversation, all he does is educate. Even if the client wants to move forward in the process, he slows them down. And to me, that's a planning approach. It's the best thing for the client. And so it doesn't surprise me that you handle it that way.
Yeah, and estate planning can vary greatly depending on your estate and your family. I mean, it can be a very, very simple process requiring, that you do very little. But obviously, if your estate's a little more complex, we've got to get into, more complex ways to handle it. If taxes would be an issue, or if there's concerns of a contest in the family or something like that. So, we try to get that information out of the clients. So we can, at least arm them, make them aware of what estate planning will do for them to head off some of those difficulties at that time.
Well, why do I need to do estate planning?
Well, a good question, and a lot of people ask me that because they say, well, I'm going to be dead, what do I need estate planning for? But everyone needs estate planning. It doesn't matter, if you're rich, if you're poor, if you don't have family. Everybody needs it. We spend our lives, building an estate, and if you don't do your estate planning, there'll be problems after you pass away. Estate planning, it's the most effective way, an efficient way to pass on your assets. That time is usually a very difficult time for whoever is left behind, family or friends. And so by doing your estate planning, you have answered a lot of the difficult questions that they would have to answer, and you're making it much easier on them. And that, in my mind, is a really important part of estate planning.
If you do the basic estate planning work, let's say today, how often do you need to review what was put together and changes that may be needed to make to the estate?
Okay, a good question, and one I get quite a bit, because I do talk to a lot of people who already have estate planning. And kind of a rule of thumb would be maybe every 7 or so years you should relive those documents, take a look at them, make sure they still meet your needs, that they're still what you would like to have happen with your estate. And then alternatively, any sort of major life change usually should prompt someone to review their estate planning. You know, a child is born, someone passes away, there's a marriage, a divorce, those sort of, you know, kind of changes to someone's life. Usually very much affect their estate plan, and so that is also a time that you really need to look at it.
A grandchild?
Grandchild, absolutely. You know, if you want to set up that, you know, 529 for your grandchild, those kind of things.
What is the most common mistakes that people make, Guy?
The most common mistake, I think, is the do-it-yourself approach. You know, it's really important to, at a minimum, to arm yourself with a meeting with an attorney, with a professional who can give you some guidance, because I see a lot of people try to do it themselves, whether it is writing their own will from a form or whether it is something I see very commonly would be just adding, say, a child to your bank account or deeding your home to your children or something like that before you pass away. And that's never a good idea. Estate planners are always going to, object to any client doing something like that, because you're creating a lot of liability issues for your assets by adding someone's name. And you could be creating a lot of tax problems, you know, basis issues. You know, if you give your house to your child's going to have either a zero or the basis you had in that house.
Mm-hmm.
So when it's ultimately sold, there could be some severe tax consequences. And so, you know, it's really important to at least speak with an estate planner before you go down that path, I think.
Well, that's another thing that our company, New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, is carefully considers, because, you know, I mean, you have dealt with Gordon, I believe.
Yes.
And referred to our company, I believe.
Yeah, I have. I deal with a lot of other professionals. You know, estate planning overlaps with a lot of different things, financial planning, business planning, real estate matters. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you know, I have to have kind of a team of other professionals that I use. And Gordon at New Mexico Reverse Mortgage and I have worked together. And your company's always done a fantastic job for my clients.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for saying that, Guy. How about the people who say that, you know, I don't have the assets to worry about a will or to worry about estate planning?
Yeah, I get that from a lot of clients too. And you know, my experience, our firm, we deal with contested estates. So I see estates that end up in litigation as well. And you know, some of the smallest estates are the estates that the heirs fight over the hardest. They mm-hmm. get the most involved in just fighting with one another. And the last thing anyone wants, either the decedent or their heirs, is the attorneys representing them to get all the money. And you have this estate that just keeps shrinking and shrinking as everyone is paying attorneys. It's usually really never anyone's best interest. And so anything to avoid that should be done.
And my understanding in New Mexico, and I mean, maybe way off base, is a small estate is anything under the 50,000. Is that correct?
You know, the limit changed recently, but a small estate can be, and this really goes more toward probate than estate planning, because, you know, most estates will go through probate unless you've used a trust to plan your estate. And probate is not that bad in New Mexico. It's a pretty straightforward process, but a lot of people have heard horror stories and would like to avoid probate. And we do have a statute that allows a small estate to be collected with an affidavit, and you don't have to go to court and get a full legal appointment. And it's a very useful tool when we do have small estates to deal with.
Okay. What question is the most common questions clients have when they first come in?
Well, either what is estate planning, and then, you know, we start from square one and explain it. But probably the most common is people asking me, what is the difference in a will and a trust? Because they, you know, most people know what a will is. You know, it's pretty straightforward. But a lot of people don't know what a trust is. And a trust is, it's kind of an unusual thing. And you have been maybe to a cocktail party and someone was talking about their trust. So when I get clients in, usually they want to know, what's the difference? Why would you use one over the other? You know, and looking at my estate, what's, you know, which do you recommend? And so we get into that conversation usually on that first appointment with clients when they come in, because it's a big determining factor on which way we're going to go on how to put their estate plan together.
Okay. Address this for me, Guy. You know, our show is about all things senior.
Okay.
Talk about this process as it relates to your more senior clients. I mean, senior, you know, 62 and...
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, it's never, well, I shouldn't say it's never too late. You need to get your estate planning done no matter when. But, you know.
Let me do this, Guy.
Sure.
Bob's telling me it's time for a break.
All right.
You're listening to Gray Matters Discussing All Things Senior, presented by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage. I'll be right back. Welcome back to Gray Matters Discussing All Things Senior with your host, Dirk Gray. Gray Matters is heard weekly on Saturdays, beginning at 12 p.m. Mountain Time, and streams to a global audience here on 94.5 FM and AM 770 News Radio, KKOB. All right, I'm continuing my conversation with attorney Guy Tan with Buttiger & Associates. And Guy, you were talking about the difference between a will and
trust.
A trust. May we continue that conversation?
Yeah, certainly, because that's, you know, like I said, probably the most common question I get, and it also does really drive kind of where we go with an estate plan. And a will versus trust somewhat depends on what your assets are, because historically trusts have been used in connection with the estate tax, but the estate tax now is, you know, $5.5 million or thereabouts, and so it's not that common that we deal with estates that are going to have an estate tax problem. But we still use trust for a few other reasons. And in my mind, one of the primary reasons I like to use a trust is planning for a client's potential future incapacity. You know, with medicine as it is these days, a lot of us are going to live longer than our ability to take care of ourselves, to live independently. And a trust is a good way to have named who is going to come on as a co-trustee or take over for you, and be able to manage your affairs for you. Another big difference in a trust and a will is wills have to go to probate. And a lot of people don't realize that. They think, well, either I don't have a will, so my estate doesn't have to go to probate, or they think I have a will and my estate doesn't have to go to probate. And they're both wrong. All wills must go to probate. A judge has to approve them and then appoint the personal representative named in the will. But a trust does not. A trust is a private document. It does not require probating. You've already named your successor trustee, so when, you know, either you pass away or become incapacitated, they can take over. There's no court process involved, so it's a very smooth and quick transition. And some people really appreciate that. They've had maybe a bad experience in probate, or, you know, your will goes to probate and is filed and becomes a public record, and some people do not want their will to be a public record. They're more private, and so if you use a trust, it is not going to be a public record. And then another real common reason we use a trust over a will would be what attorneys call a blended family situation. And that is, say, a second or, you know, third or however many spouse, and you have children that are not the children of your spouse. And it's a way to protect both the new spouse and your children in the event of your death to make sure, you know, your estate is handled properly.
Well, you know, I know I've heard terms TOD and I believe POD, I may be incorrect, but what are those terms?
Those are those stand for transfer on death or pay on death. And, you know, earlier we were talking about small estates. So, you know, it's not uncommon to have someone come into my office and, you know, they have checking, savings account, maybe retirement, and a house. And really that's all we're talking about for an estate. And in a situation like that, I still recommend that they have a simple will in place, but we can probably avoid the probate process with beneficiary designations. Most financial accounts will allow you to name a beneficiary after your death. And New Mexico allows what's called a transfer on death deed. And that is a deed for your property. You go ahead and you fill it out. You execute it now while you're alive. You record it with the property records. But it is revocable. So if you change your mind, you're not locked into this. But it does not become effective until your death. When you die, your heir beneficiary can record your death certificate with the property records, and that effectively transfers title, the ownership of that property, to who you have named in this deed. And so, you know, probate is avoided, and real estate is one of the assets that really throws a lot of estates into probate. And a transfer on death deed and POD or TOD designation on financial accounts, you know, sometimes a client will come in and they don't need but maybe just some advice on how to set those things up. You know, now I don't recommend someone do a deed themselves, but they may look at, you know, $100, $200 cost to get their estate squared away.
Okay, and I know we had started, too, the conversation about the seniors, and I guess that's more of a question, I would assume, about when people start the process.
Right, right. Well, with older clients, an issue that comes up or that attorneys really look for is capacity. You know, you want to make sure, I mean, with much older clients, that they really do understand the process. They understand what we are educating them on, that who their family is, what their assets are. You know, you don't want to wait until you're having memory problems or things like that to start down this road, because it can be too late. You know, I see many situations, unfortunately, where, you know, the person is too advanced with dementia or memory loss. You know, I'm not a doctor, but those sort of issues, and I'm not comfortable allowing them to sign legal documents. Mm-hmm. And at that point, there's just not a lot you can do.
Well, I know something, you know, in the training that I'm doing with Mace, that's something Mace is very attuned to as well, in being in our business, because we do deal with seniors, and oftentimes they're quite elderly. So he looks for that type of thing.
Yes, certainly, because when estates are contested, the primary challenges are usually based on the capacity of the testator, whoever, you know, was creating these documents, and whether they had the capacity to do that, or what's called undue influence. And undue influence, it's kind of not a hybrid, but it's along those same lines, and that is that this person was in either a physical or weakened state, and someone is taking advantage of them. They may still have plenty of capacity, but say a caregiver, you know, is telling them, you need to do this with your estate, or I'm not going to take care of you. And there's unfortunately a lot of that goes on with older clients. It's very sad to see.
And how do you educate the public in terms of them needing? I mean, we're glad to do this kind of thing, you know, for exposure, but how do you get the word out in terms of people needing to do these types of things?
You know, it's not easy. I mean, I always am open to anyone who asks me, church groups, civic groups, anything like that, to come speak to them, and educate either the members of an organization or, you know, a financial planner's clients or something like that. Because, you know, as I said earlier, really that's what we want to do, is educate people. Because once they understand what is involved, kind of what's at stake, they will understand that estate planning is essential and that everybody needs it, and that it doesn't have to be complex. It can be very simple, can be very complex. Just depends on the estate.
And do most people think, I'll bet, you know, going through this process is going to be very expensive?
Well, yeah, they do. They do. And certainly, you know, I mean, attorneys are expensive. I mean, I'm an attorney and, you know, thank goodness I don't have to hire them too often myself. But you know, estate planning doesn't need to be. And most estate planners will charge you a flat fee. And they'll tell you what that fee is going to be up front, so you know there are no surprises. Mm-hmm. It's not like when you hire an attorney on an hourly basis. And you can, you know, you can be shocked sometimes on the time spent on a case. So, I mean, our firm always charge a flat fee for estate planning, so you know exactly what it's going to be. And, you know, like I mentioned earlier, a very small estate, I mean, in theory, we, you know, a couple hundred dollars, we've got it squared away. They're taken care of. Not a problem.
Okay, you've got about 15 seconds left, Guy. What is your contact information and website, if you have one?
The website, Buttiger & Associates, if you, you know, search that, you will find us, not a problem. Our telephone number is 881-9060. We're several attorneys, so there's always probably someone available to talk to you. And we do take calls from clients. We don't just, you know, have an appointment set up. We're happy to get on the phone and educate you.
Okay, great. Thank you for being on the show.
It was a pleasure. Thank you, Dirk.
All right. I want to thank Amanda Snow and Guy Tan for being my guests. I also want to thank my producer, Bob, as well as the 770 KKOB team for making Gray Matters, discussing all things senior with Dirk Gray, your favorite place for all things senior, and our sponsor, New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, and you, our audience, for joining today's broadcast. Thank you for listening to the voice of reverse mortgages and seniors in New Mexico. Thank you for tuning in. Dirk Gray.